Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Philippians. Book of Philippians this morning, chapter 2. Excuse me, Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 5 through 11 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read silently. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Please stand to your feet as you're looking for your passage in the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. That's the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, let's begin at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this wonderful passage that you've put in your book. Thank you for your book, the Word of God. We can hold your words in our hand this morning. We thank you for giving us that. Now, Father, we pray as Pastor Johnson comes and preaches to us that you'd use him to make the Word of God alive in our lives so that we'd be better Christians before we leave this room. God, help us. Help Pastor Johnson for that task. Anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power. And then, Father, if there's somebody in this room that has never trusted Jesus Christ, doesn't know for sure they're going to heaven when they die, that I pray this morning they would settle that. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I'm going to ask now that you check your cell phone. Make sure that it is turned off. We announced that we found a cell phone in the parking lot because their cell phone went off last week, and as they went outside, the earth opened and swallowed them alive. And all that was left was their cell phone. And that may happen. That will happen to you if your cell phone goes off during the service. So turn it to vibrate or turn it to off or something like that. Help us. I'm going to ask now that you sit still and listen carefully. If you're a good clock watching Baptist, you realize I have about 2.5 minutes for the sermon this morning. It's almost noon. And you've got to get home and watch a 3-hour pregame show before the Super Bowl comes on. And so I've got to hurry myself this morning. Hogwash. These last several weeks, we have been looking in the Word of God to try and understand God. Understanding God. Next week, I'm going to begin a little short follow-through on that. I'm going to talk to you about understanding the devil. Someone that people don't really believe is an actual person or creature, but he is. But today I want to conclude, as it were, a series of messages we've had about understanding God. Ladies and gentlemen, please, God reveals himself to us in two ways. Through his word, that book you hold in your hands this morning, the Bible. That's how you understand God. But also through his work, his creative work. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 1 that God reveals himself through his creation. That we are without excuse for saying there is no God. That we can even know by his creative work, his eternal power and Godhead. Psalm chapter 19 and verse number 1, the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day in the day utter speech. Night in the night showeth knowledge, the Bible says. So day or night you can see the hand of God. You can. Step out on a beautiful morning like this morning, and as the fog began to lift a bit, and you see the cathedral of the snow-capped mountains that are around us. That's no accident. That's the hand of God, ladies and gentlemen. To attribute that to an accident of evolution is not only foolish, it's disrespectful to the Creator. God shows us His handiwork. He shows us that He is there. But His Word is the best way to understand God. Because this is God's Word, ladies and gentlemen. We do not preach a book written of men or written by men. It's not a collection of our thoughts or man's thoughts or religion's thoughts. This is, in fact, God's Word. And He reveals Himself to us through this book. And in the Bible, God reveals Himself to us as a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And remember now, we're not talking Father, Son, Holy Spirit. First place, second place, third place. We're talking equal. Three persons, one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Hold your place here in Philippians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As we present the Trinity to you in the Word of God, each of these services and messages, we take and show you the Trinity in the Bible. And it's all over the places, from Genesis to the Revelation. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want you to see it again, where God presents Himself in a form of three, if you want to call it that. It's not three gods, one person, three persons, one God. See, but Pastor, I can't understand how that could be, how they could be separate yet equal. How they could be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet the Father is God the Father, and the Son is God the Son, and the Holy Spirit is God the Holy Spirit, and they each have their own separate person or identity in the Trinity, and yet they are one God. I don't understand that. Now, here's the reason why, one more time. Because He's God. That's why you don't understand it. Look, you don't want a God you can figure out. Now, do you really? You want a God that, honestly, your mind can comprehend all about Him and who He is and what He is. You want that? See, that's because in our society today, we have made ourselves our own God. We don't accept anything unless I can understand it fully and completely. Excuse me. No. You definitely don't want a God you can figure out, because then He is no greater than your mind. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three persons, one God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at this, please. Verse number 4. It says, and I want you to notice carefully, it says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. You see that into verse 4? Verse 5. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. You see that at the end of verse 5. Verse 6. But there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Lord, Spirit, Lord, God. Holy Spirit, verse 4. Jesus, that's Lord, verse 5. God the Father, that's verse 6. How that God disseminates to us the spiritual gifts of 1 Corinthians 12. And it's a work of Spirit, Son, and Father to do that work. But it's another evidence of how that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, we don't have to grasp it. We just have to accept that's who God is and embrace that's how we understand Him. And it'll help you. Friend, listen. The point of preaching these messages about understanding God is manyfold. But one of the reasons is we need to get it right about who God is. We got too many people making up their own God. If you got a God you can make, He's not God. We don't need God as we understand Him. We don't need God as we want Him to be. Well, my God would not be like that, Pastor Johnson. Then you've got your own God. That's idol worship. That's heathenism. We look at these dear people in these other countries who bow down to stumps and stones and worship God, worship the sun, the moon, the stars, and nature, and we say, wow, those poor heathen. There's more heathen in America today. Because they've got people making up their own God, the God they want. And if they see something in the Bible they don't like about God, then they dismiss the Bible and dismiss God and make up their own. No, you don't do that, friend. Now listen, He made us, we don't make Him. He wrote the Bible, we did not write it. And if God says this is how He is and the way He presents Himself in the Word of God, then that's what we need to submit to. We need to surrender to that and acknowledge Him as the God, the God of the Bible and the God as He presents Himself to us. Now, in these last few weeks, we have taken this understanding about God and talked about the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The first message, we talked to you about God, the Holy Spirit. Last week, we talked to you about God, the Father. Today, we talk about God, the Son. Back to Philippians chapter 2, please. You know, we like to read, when Christmas time comes around, we like to read the Gospel of Matthew and Luke and read the story of the birth of Christ and how we call it the Christmas story in the Gospels. The truth is, Philippians chapter 2 is the truth about the Christmas story. Christ coming to be with us. Look at Philippians 2 again quickly this morning, please, would you? It says in verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 6. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's the Christmas story. Jesus pre-incarnate, before he came to Bethlehem's manger and was born as a babe in that manger, Jesus Christ was God the Son. He existed as God the Son before he became Jesus Christ who walked this earth. It's very important to understand that this morning. See, there's nothing really dangerous about a baby in a manger. There's nothing that challenges people's belief about a man who was a prophet who walked the shores of Galilee and said nice things and preached a sermon on a mount and healed some people. And there's nothing that offends or affronts religion by a person who was just a man like us, born like us, lived like us, and died. And some say he went to the cross, and some say he rose from the dead. There's nothing that affronts anybody's religious belief about that kind of a person. But the Bible tells us Jesus Christ was God the Son. Before he came to this earth, he was God. And when he came to this earth, he humbled himself to become like a man. He didn't become a man. He became like a man on purpose for a reason. Why? To be obedient, the Bible says, all the way to the death of the cross for us. And now has ascended back to heaven, and God the Father has exalted his name and given him a name that is above every name, the Bible says, and that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now that's a different Jesus than you get in a lot of religions today. That's a different Jesus than is being presented by people. He is virgin born, my friend, but he existed before the virgin birth. Jesus Christ existed as God the Son. Let's understand him this morning. First of all, let's consider his name. Do you notice it says there in the book of Philippians chapter 2 this morning, please? It says, let this mind, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in, now notice the title and the name, Christ Jesus. Christ is a title. It's not a name, it's a title. Jesus is his name. Christ, the title, the name Christ in the Bible, the title Christ in the Bible is Anointed One. It means Messiah. The Jews were looking for Messiah. Some of them are still looking. Truth is, Messiah has already come. The Anointed One, Christ, has already come. Not only that, but Jesus, his title as Christ, means the Anointed One. You see, when someone was chosen as a king or a leader in those days, they anointed that person publicly to let everyone know, this is the sovereign, this is the leader, this is the one who will lead us. When the Bible calls Jesus Christ, calls him by the name Christ, it is reminding us that his name incorporates into this title, that he is the Anointed One. Now, Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, we must understand, is the Anointed One. He is the one set apart by God. He's the one chosen. He is the Anointed. That means he's anointed as the Savior of all mankind. When we say we are a Christian, it is not that what we claim that we are, but we say who he is. If you're a Christian this morning, it's not because you say, I'm a Christian. If you are a Christian this morning biblically, it's because you claim Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Nobody else. He has to be the Christ of your salvation, the Anointed One. Not Jesus in the church, not Jesus in baptism, not Jesus in confirmation, not Jesus in good works. No, Jesus and Jesus alone. He is the Christ. Now listen, that means I must look to him as the Savior, not a Savior, the Savior. He died for me on the cross. He rose from the dead. He ascended back to heaven. And I look to him alone for my salvation. Now friend, please listen to this preacher this morning. Salvation is through the person of Christ alone. You cannot be trusting anything or anyone else. You cannot add to what Jesus is or did in order to have salvation. The title of Christ in his name means he's the Anointed One. It means he's the one set apart. It means his name, he is our only hope of salvation. We look to and trust Jesus alone as the Savior of my soul. Is that how you understand your salvation this morning? Now listen to me. Is that the way you understand your salvation? That Christ is the Savior. Not Jesus in a combination of anything else, just Christ alone. Well, I believe in Christ. No. Not believing in Him. Acknowledging Him as Savior, the anointed one, the only one who could ever save us and is alone our salvation. That's the way we must see Him to be saved this morning. Is that how you understand it? Now, friend, look at me. If you don't have Christ as Savior, Christ alone as Savior, you do not have biblical salvation. You've got what you want. You've got what someone else told you. You've got what some religion presented to you, but the Word of God presents Him as Christ Jesus. That's title. Then His name is Jesus. It's a beautiful name. Please listen to me. Why do people use His name in profanity? Why? You ever heard someone say, "Ah, Muhammad"? You ever heard them say that? Huh? "Ah, Buddha"? You ever heard them pull that one on you before? How does it have to be Jesus? Why does it have to be His name? Why is His name the only name that's used as a curse word on many people's lips today? Something doesn't go right in their life and they just cry out the name of Jesus, but they're not calling on Him. They're using it as a slander and a blasphemy. By the way, the Ten Commandments still apply in that principle. You're not supposed to use a disparaging use of the name of God, my friend. That's wrong. We're not supposed to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, the Scripture said. In vain means an emptiness about it. Just, "Oh, Jesus," and just use it like a profane type of an expression or an expression of anger or frustration. No, that's not the way you're supposed to use that name. Not that most holy. Hey, we just read it a moment ago. The Bible says one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. His name, Jesus, do you know what it means? It means salvation. Jehoshua or Joshua, it means the one who brings us salvation. Now look, Christ is the anointed one for salvation. Jesus is the one who paid the price. That's why you don't want to curse that name. So I would say, somebody uses that name in such a vile way. I say to them, "My friend, you know who you're talking to? Do you know who you're talking about? You're talking about that friend whose name is Jesus, who loved you, gave His life for you, and paid the price." See, the anointed Christ is the one who's the hope of salvation. The Savior is the one who provided the payment for that salvation. And His name is Jesus. When we ask for salvation, the Bible said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." When we ask for salvation, we call on the name of Jesus for salvation. And it's the Jesus of the Bible, the virgin born, sinless life, vicarious death, bodily resurrection, deified Christ. That one, that's the one you call on for salvation. Not the Jesus of someone else's understanding, the Jesus of the Bible. That's the one you ask to save you. That's His name, ladies and gentlemen. He's God the Son. He's the anointed. He is Jesus Christ the Lord. Consider His work. Would you please look in Philippians 2. Now look at verse 6. Now here He is. Picture this. He is, the Bible says, not in verse number 6 it says, "who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal God." You know what robbery is, don't you? It's called politics. No, you know what robbery is, don't you? Congress. You know what robbery is, don't you? It's taking something that doesn't belong to you. That's what robbery is. Jesus, the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Then verse 6 says, "who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery." He wasn't taking something that wasn't rightfully His by claiming the fact that Jesus is God. He claimed His own deity. He claimed to be God Himself. When He walked this earth, even in human flesh, He was still God the Son. In John chapter 20, after His resurrection, He appeared to the disciples in the upper room. And the first time He appeared to them, one of the disciples was missing. Maybe he was in the parking lot looking for his cell phone. No, he was missing. And so Jesus, when the disciples told Him, hey, Thomas, the Lord was here. And He said, "No, won't believe it. Won't believe it. Not till I see Him myself. Thrust my hands in that side where the spear was put. Put my fingers in the nail prints of His hands. Won't believe it till I can see it." Short time after that, the Bible said Christ appeared to the disciples again in an upper room. This time Thomas was there. You know, the Lord made that extra trip just for one doubting Thomas. Just one. Walked right up to him and said, "Come here, Thomas. Thomas, come here. Thrust your hand in my side. Put your hands here, Thomas. Look at the nail prints in my hands." And you know what Thomas said to Jesus in John chapter 20, verse 28? He said, "My Lord and my God. Jesus accepted the worship of man. Do you know why? Because he's God. He can do that. You don't bow down to anyone else now. No other human beings. No human being. No. I don't bow down to anybody, kiss their toe, their ring, their nothing. Man doesn't bow to man. We don't do that, ladies and gentlemen. But when Thomas worshiped Jesus, Jesus accepted the worship of Thomas because Jesus Christ was God in human flesh, you see. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now get this work that he did. But look at Philippians chapter 2. Now look at verse 7. But made himself of no reputation. Oh, my soul, think about this. And took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He is God the Son, a pre-existent, pre-eternal. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. John chapter 1 in verse number 3. Jesus spoke everything into existence. Jesus is God the Son, is the Creator, King, Sovereign, Lord. And what does he do? The Bible said he makes himself of no reputation. It literally means he set aside the rights and the privileges as God to become like you and to become like me. He made himself of no reputation. Did he stop being God? No, he gave up the privileges. He gave up the rights of the Godhead so he could become limited like a human being like us and get tired and have tears and no sorrow, and have rejection in his life. And he would come into his own, the Bible says in John chapter 1, and his own received him not. Now listen to me this morning. And Jesus, the Savior, the anointed one, for you and for me, was willing to give up his rights and privileges so we could have what we needed in our lives. We talk about God the Son, ladies and gentlemen. We talk about Jesus Christ. Then we say, I'm a Christian. You know what the word Christian means? It means a like Christ one. That's what it means. Christian is the title given to Christians. We didn't invent that name. That was given to us by those who saw people who lived like the Jesus they preached about. And they called, and the Bible says in Acts chapter 11, and they called the disciples first Christians in Antioch. It was almost a racial slur in a sense. But in a real way, it was an identification. It was telling people, hey, those guys that preach about this Jesus, they live just like him. They're just like the Jesus they preach. That's why being a Christian is a privilege. It's an honor. It's a respectful title. But it's not a name. Once you become a Christian by faith in Christ, your living the Christian life needs to be just like his. And here's Jesus for you, friend. Jesus set aside his rights and privileges to be what others needed him to be. How about you this morning? It's a Super Bowl Sunday. 2.4 million dollars will be paid for a 30-second commercial. $2.4 million for a 30-second commercial. Billions of dollars will be made, spent, around the world, people sit around little television sets and watch the game. Later on today sometime, I'll try and catch a few minutes of it myself. Wait a minute, listen. And the world will think this is the biggest thing on the planet. And on a Super Bowl Sunday, there'll be Christians who'll sit home and watch a football game instead of going to church. Now you look at me. Or for any other reason except just health that you can't get here. We have folks right now this morning in the hospital wish they were in church this morning. The truth of the matter is, friend, if you're like him, you set aside your rights and privileges to be what others need you to be. Instead of the big me, my, I, it's all about me life. That's not biblical Christianity. See, Jesus' work in Philippians is showing us he is God the Son, ladies and gentlemen, with the worship of the angels and the power of deity and sovereignty of Almighty Creator of this universe. And he was willing to set it all aside so we would have a Savior and he would come to be what we needed him to be. See, if I'm a Christian this morning, then it needs to be more than a title. It needs to be more than a fish bumper sticker on my car. It needs to be more than just something as a word that I use. It needs to be evidenced by the fact that my life is not my own. I am bought with a price. Therefore, I should glorify God in my body and my spirit, which are God's. Someone the other day said, we're not going to come back to church anymore, Pastor Johnson, just frankly, because you put too much pressure on us. I just want to go to church, listen to a sermon, and get up and go home. I don't want anybody messing with my life, and it's getting too close to where I live, so I just can't go to church there anymore. I'm just not going, I can't take the pressure. Ladies and gentlemen, look at me. All we do is preach the Bible here. And when you preach the Bible, God's Holy Spirit is going to try to conform you into the likeness of Christ. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. We don't need the praise and worship stuff in church. We need churches that put pressure on people to make them like Jesus. And if you're going to be like him, you got to set aside your rights for his rights. You got to set aside your rights for someone else's rights. You've got to yield yourself so God can do something through you in your life like Jesus did, who made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men and became obedient unto death. He even humbled himself, the Bible says. And the limit that Jesus set for all this was the cross, all the way to death. Not all the way to a Sunday morning service and get up and go home and that's it for my religion for the week. He said, I'll take this obedience and humility that's necessary all the way to the cross if that's what's asked of me. And it was, and he did. And you have salvation and so do I because we have a Savior who was willing to do that for us. Question this morning, the work of Jesus and who he is and what he would do for us, it's about him not wanting to be what he wanted to be, but what we needed him to be. You need to see that as your life today. We don't put any more pressure on people than the Word of God presents. But friend, when I look at him and I see Jesus, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, looking unto Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured this cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus did that. I'm supposed to look at him as my example and say, okay, if he would do that so I could have salvation, the least I could do is in my life, receiving the amazing gift of eternal life, the least I can do is be what he wants me to be. Instead of saying, well, I'm not so sure I agree with that. I'm not so sure that's what I want with my life. No, he set aside his rights and privileges. That's the work of the great Son of God, Jesus Christ. Consider verse 9 and 11 this morning quickly as we consider his glory. Because Jesus was willing to be what we needed, the Bible says then in verse number 9, look at this, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. God exalted him and gave him that name, the name above every name. That's why, listen now, that's why I don't care if it's politically incorrect. As long as we preach the Bible and preach Christ, let's understand this. Jesus is not in the same category as Muhammad or Buddha or Gandhi or any other leader that's ever walked this earth. They are men, they're just men who walked this earth. That's all they were. But his name is above every name. The exalted name of Jesus Christ. But Pastor Johnson, you mean you're talking like he's the only one? Yes, he's the only one. There is no one else in the same category, not even close to who Jesus is. He's not a man, he's the God-man. He's not just someone, he is the one this morning. Let's understand the glory of Christ today is in that name of Jesus. God has exalted him and given him a name above every name. Verse number 10 says this, look, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. One day there will come a day, not long from now, by the way, when all the assembly of mankind will come together for one event. And it's not a judgment event, I believe. I believe this is a separate and unique event presented in the Word of God more than once, at least twice. And all the assembly of mankind who have ever lived and breathed, including, ladies and gentlemen, Satan and his bunch, will come and Jesus Christ will be presented before this great multitude. And then simply spoken, if I understand the scripture correctly, at the name of Jesus, his name is spoken. And at the name of Jesus, every knee bows. All of them. Everyone. Satan bows his knee. Everyone. Muhammad bows his knee. The Buddha bows his knee. They all bow their knee. Lenin, Marx, they all bow their knees. All those who rejected him and turned against him and spoke against him, they all bow their knees. Wait a minute, you'll be there and I will be there also. And that name will be spoken and those of us washed in his precious blood, given salvation secure and free, we too will bow our knees at the name of Jesus. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to glory, to the glory of God the Father. And the word confess in the Bible is a powerful word. It means agree with it. You see, when you're standing there, friend, and then you're kneeling before him, kneeling in the Bible is a picture of submission. It's a picture of subjection. It's a picture, whenever a king conquered another king in another nation, he would bring that king before his people and make that king bow before that conqueror. That's a picture of subjection and submission. It's a picture of sovereignty. It's showing, ladies and gentlemen, this is my sovereign Lord. And even those who spoke against him will have to bow their knee and say, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Don't you get discouraged today when his name is spoken ill and spoken of in an ill and awful fashion. Don't you get discouraged when his name cannot be spoken in public places now because of quote unquote separation of powers, etc. Don't you feel badly today, my friend. The day will come when God will straighten all of that out and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's the glory of the Son of God, friend. Now what you want to do is you want to make sure you get on the winning side. Now that'll put us in a minority today. That will put us on the outskirts of society today and they'll think ill of us. They'll be like Oprah and some of these other fools who say, well, Jesus can't be the only way. Just because she can't accept it doesn't mean it's not true. Just because someone rejects him doesn't make it not so. Look at me. I can close my eyes and say it's dark in here, but that's just because I have my eyes closed. You can deny God exists, but he's still there and he still loves you and he sent his son Christ to die for you. That name Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, there's glory in that name. There's salvation in that name. There's redemption in that name. There's power in that name. There's God's hand in that name. There's hope in that name. There's strength for the time when we're weak. There's help for the time when we're helpless. There's light in days of darkness. There's something about the name of Jesus. There's glory in that name. Please don't use it as a curse word. Please don't bandy it about in some unholy manner or fashion. Please realize that when it's all over and said and done, Jesus wins. You understand that? We may not, but Jesus does. And if you're on his side, you'll be on the winning side, my friend. Because he's God the Son. And for you and I this morning, we just need to come to the place in our life when we sing the hymns about Jesus. We sing it like we really mean it. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. In the dark of the night you call his name. He's alive today. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, soon to be standing to return to take us to be with himself. And that, my friend, that eastern sky is going to rip and he'll call us home to be with him. And we'll see the face of Jesus and we'll walk the streets of heaven, not because we're worthy, but because we have a worthy Son of God today who gave us that salvation. That's the name. That's who he is, Jesus. He is God the Son. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.